Welcome to another episode of our Founders Podcast. I'm your host, Ash, and this is a show where I interview proven founders and industry experts who share their stories, strategies, and insights to help you build and launch, grow your business. In this episode, I talk to Vin Mara, the founder of Brand Hero. Vin is a dynamic force in the world of visual storytelling and design agency, renowned for the captivating TEDx talks and recognized as a 40 under 40 luminary. As a product designer, Vin has elevated countless businesses, driving exponential growth in the revenue and user engagement. His visionary approach to design is guided by principles of clarity, empathy, and integrity, setting him apart as a trusted advisor and a mentor within the global design community. Through his consultancy, Brand Hero, Vin empowers businesses to forge meaningful connections with their audience, leveraging user-centric websites and innovative product designs to tell compelling brand stories. With a knack for transforming concepts into tangible success stories, Vin is the go-to expert for the seeking to amplify their digital presence and unlock their brand full potential. So I hope you enjoy the show. Vin, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here.
Great. Do you have a favorite quote, something that inspires or motivates you that you would like to share with our audience?
Yeah, sure. So there's a quote which I've always been going by, which is from the famous basketballer Michael Jordan. And that says, "I play to win, whether during practice or a real game." So I kind of have this thought in my mind that, hey, when we are creating something for ourselves or for a client or for anyone for that matter, it has to be the winning approach. And that is the goal to seek always. So it's been very helpful for me in my life in general. So yeah, that I'm really always pumped by that quote.
Empowering. That's really good. I remember when I was a kid, there were some other kids in my basketball team who used to wear these shoes where they had this Michael Jordan sign. But I still remember that time he didn't launch it. It was these fake shoes coming from Thailand and other places, right? And I used to wonder, like, oh my God, how much these shoes must be costing them. But I was stupid that time. But don't worry about it. So tell us about Brand Hero. What does the product do? Who is it for? And what's the main problem you're helping to solve?
Sure. So I have had this inherent belief that, you know, design is there to solve a problem for a business, right? It is not essentially, so there's an artist side of design, which is different, but there's a business side of design, which is where Brand Hero operates in. So we are helping startup founders and other large companies also to tell their brand story in the most impactful way possible. And now we do this with the help of a couple of instruments we have. It could be a brand strategy, brand design, could be a beautiful product design, very effective. And it could also be UX-centric websites. So all of these things come together. Generally, it's not like they're very standalone in themselves, but the whole experience as a whole for somebody or a business is what we try to escalate and achieve the goals which for which it is being intended for.
Right, right. Okay. So in terms of empowering the businesses then, What is your step-by-step approach? For example, let's say if a startup comes to you or maybe an SME comes to you and say, when we would like to communicate our brand or we would like to sort of like grow our brand, what are the steps they have to take in order to, you know, acquire your services, or how do you approach it?
Sure. So first step in general in such cases is to first identify the problem areas and try to figure out, okay, what is that we could do to solve a particular problem. So the first step is to understand the business in detail, to talk to the stakeholders, the founders who are just involved deeply in many conversations over a period of time, to understand where they are and where they want to go. And then figure out, okay, what are these issues which are stopping them from doing so? And where could be those problem areas? And how can design, you know, leverage itself to solve for those going forward? Now, this entails multiple steps. The first step is those discovery calls, the stakeholder interviews, you know, in general, which I try to understand. I and my team try to understand how to solve for that. But the next step is generally user research, where we go in, talk to the actual customers and users and try to understand, okay, what is that they want, whether that company or the product is serving that need, which they are actually wanting to solve for. And based on those research findings, based on those, we end up talking to a lot of consumers and users to actually see how they feel about a particular problem being solved in their lives. Now, I'm trying to be very superficial here. I'm not getting into specifics, but the whole idea is to solve a problem. The whole idea is to solve a problem for them and try to figure out ways how can design do that. If it is a generally in most cases, it's a tech company and it is a product they have. There's a website they have, which it could have a certain goal, such as converting leads, or could be educating people, could be anything like that. So defining those goals is one of the key important areas. And then design based on those to achieve those goals is very important. So after the user research is done is then when we get into the whole plain drawing board to get to drawing user flows and try to understand, map the personas that we have identified as to what kind of things can solve for their needs. And then draw user flows as to how the journey of a particular user is going to be in detail. And that will entail us to the next step, which is, say, drawing the wireframes and getting a little more deeper in terms of the whole experience. Now, optionally, we could also do another round of some of these testing from the users, actually, to at this stage to figure out, okay, whether it is still solving the problem or still kind of they're able to navigate through things, or they're able to achieve what they seek to or not. And once that step is complete is then when we get to actual design. At every step of this process, we have a lot of insights which are unraveling, and we try to modify our approach to make sure that these insights are taken into consideration to design the next iteration, which is covering up all the things which were missing in the previous one and make sure that we are able to achieve what we are building and designing for.
Right.
Hope that answers your question.
So any first you start with requirement gathering, understanding the personas, then you understand how you can add value into the current flows, or if they don't have any, how you can define it and then potentially include all the insights which you have received from either stakeholder interviews or potentially their end customers interviews. And then after that, you jump into the ground and then do it like whichever way the customer wants you to do it, right?
One important part also, which we do is sometimes get missed also, but it's by some companies, but we try to make sure that it is done, is the end testing, where we create something at every stage and make sure that we test it to ensure that it's able to solve for what it is being created in the first place, right? So even when the final design is ready, final product is ready, we go ahead and test that to make sure that the end users, the actual users, are happy about it. We are very proactive in listening to their feedback and improving it further. So again, depends on the engagement though, but it's a very close strategy we follow to make sure that the design, gathering the insights, the designing part, and the testing is going hand in hand. This is something which is probably the best way to judge whether we are designing right or not. So again, one of the mottos which we go by is design that works. So we're not here designing just for the sake of it. We want to make sure that we're designing something which actually works. And there's a business reason to that, and we make sure that the business reason is achieved.
Indeed. And one of the biggest examples of one of the designs, or I think it's one of the USPs now, is the ease of the slide to pay button Amazon implemented back in, I think, 2018 or 7, I don't remember the year, that revolutionized the whole experience of users, which used to literally click on the credit card or payment way and then provide their details. But then Amazon came up with this amazing solution. And then, I almost think that Google Pay and Apple Pay, they all copied it in some ways, but it's like sort of different. But that was one of the point when they revolutionized the e-commerce experience for end users. So brilliant. So let's talk about where the story began. Where did the idea from Brand Hero came from?
Sure. So this is an interesting one because you'll be surprised to hear that I am not somebody who has formally studied design. I'm an acquired and a self-taught designer, and I've been doing this for 10 years now almost, even more. So how it started is I belong to a traditional family from North India, and it's a typical business family where we come from, where I come from. And it is like a very standard way of, you know, going towards education. Like, this is what everybody has been doing, and we do the same, where we go ahead and we do engineering first, and then we do an MBA. And that is the exact course of my life, where, people end up doing first in engineering and then doing an MBA, and that is going to be making them job ready. And they get to a very nice consulting job and in a very lush office and stuff like that. So it's that's the kind of approach. So I did the same exactly to start with. I went into consulting jobs. I did an MBA. I went into consulting jobs. I sat in those glass window offices, big ones, and all over the world, traveled the world with work for a couple of years. But I realized that there's something which is missing in the work satisfaction and the kind of enjoyment I get. And I'm not getting that. So I wanted to kind of look back to my life and figure this out as to, okay, what is that? What can get me really excited to go to work every morning? And now that was a whole new task because I did design in my, I've been an artist since my childhood. My hometown still has my painted drawings on the walls. Like, it's kind of that kind of thought. But yes, it was always just like a hobby. Never imagined it to become a career of sorts. It was just like just passing time in learning something new, that was drawing. And even I did engineering, I did MBA, I kind of went to two universities. And wherever I went, I ended up doing a lot of work on, especially on the creative side, like the editorial self, the marketing team, right? And these kind of student bodies, which generally are there in the universities, where I ended up doing a lot. And everywhere I did, again, it was purely from a way of getting involved myself and just doing like a hobby. It was never again intended to become a career. It was like, probably I date back from those days where very few choose design as a career. It was more like a mainstream thing where they go in for a engineering, like a very safe route, right? And also then an MBA, which is another addition to that safe route. So when I was stuck in that job and I was realizing, I kind of changed a couple of companies. I tried different type of roles. Nothing worked for me. I was like wondering, okay, still I do not enjoy. I'm not able to, excel, which I'm supposed to, which my potential probably would be. I'm not able to maximize my potential. So then I realized, okay, let me see what I do. Then I kind of pulled back and kind of retrospected my life, thought about, okay, what is that I tend to do? One more thing which came into me alongside was photography. I was, for some reason, these creative skills, they came in as a hobby. Nobody got them. I thought I'll have them. But I did photography for a while. I was, again, just doing as a hobby along the jobs I was working in. So this photography, I did professional photography. In fact, one of my photographs got published in a novel cover, and these kind of things, these are subtle things, they keep happening. Now, this is a validation, a very strong validation as to, okay, what you're doing something is something in the right direction. I have been asked by friends and families and extended families and friends to kind of go and come if they have a event happening, if they have a newborn at their house, they invite me to kind of do a photo shoot or kind of click photos of those. So these are small validations. I did that again out of goodwill. And it was just validations that, okay, fine, that I have a creativity, an eye for creativity. And so this is another thing which was there. So I started, in fact, the first stage of career I chose for me when I was not very happy with my corporate stint and corporate jobs was to become a photographer, because that was my most active hobby at that time. And I did some professional photography engagements. And along that whole process of being in touch with the creative industry in general, I got the right guidance and I got the right direction to go to, where I also did enough amount of graphic design and UI UX design during college days. Like, could be designing a brochure, could be designing a website for the institute and stuff like that. All of this was purely somewhere back in the mind. I did all of that at my best capacity, but never thought that this could ever become a career for me going forward. And so I had enough experiences, enough examples to pick from. When I chose this field, okay, let me do design now. I had this validations existing from my childhood, where, how art has been so close to me, how design has been so close to me. as a person. And on different plethora of things, you know, like photography, drawing, art, design, website, all of this. So, and digital design in general, I did computer engineering. So I was well aware of the tech world and how it evolves also. So that kind of gave me that boost to understand tech very nicely. And that is why the very obvious route and the most favorable route for me was to get into UX UI design. Again, it started like a graphic design back in the days, because it dates back to the days when UX was not big. It was not something which was really wanted in the world, especially in India. I started from the Indian market. Today, I work all around the world, but I started with an Indian market, and it was a little far behind compared to the Western world, a little bit at least, where UX came a little late in, and it was more about graphics. So I started from there. And then it just gave way. You know, I gotten into the right, I was stuck in a like thing, okay, when to leave the job, when to get into this full time. It was a very big decision to make. I have a family to support and whatnot. So So good work automatically showed me way. So it's just that I did a couple of projects starting with friends and families, right? That's how we start. And it instantly got clicked and people were happy and they referred me further. And I got from one project to the next, to the next, to the next. And I could reach a point where I could easily decide, okay, now this is the time for me to start Brand Hero. And that was the beginning of Brand Hero. That was the journey I always envisioned and I wanted to take, but never got a chance before. So now was my time. And there was no looking back since then. It was always year by year, I've been always been seeing a growth. We've been on growth trajectory. And touch wood that it has been in favor. The industry also evolved. The design industry also evolved in a very big way. People were looking for great designs. In this course of action, I did end up working for some of the YC companies, some of the US and European companies also. Again, all this good work gave me more work in the way. One thing for sure I did always was to make sure that I give super paramount customer service, because I come from a no design background, right? And why will anybody trust me to be a designer, right? I inherently believe that design is a function of two things. One is taste and one is common sense. Logic, that is, right? So if I'm able to achieve that logic for which design is getting built with a great taste in it, or the visual part of it, the design of it, it is getting me get great results. And that those two principles have always been by my side till date. And I still, the basics don't change. These are fundamentals and they have always stayed. However, the tech evolves, the design also evolves. There are so many different tools and methods today, but the basic of everything remains the same, and which is what has been growing me further and taking me forward.
Indeed. It's very inspiring also, because you know, a lot of people are stuck into this 9-to-5 race, and it's very, very difficult for them to get out of it, not just because they don't like what they're doing, but also they don't understand that their full potential could be achieved somewhere else. So very few people, I mean, I have interviewed at this point of time, just on the podcast, I have interviewed more than 50 people almost. And every single founder I come across, there is always this point where they have to make a decision in their life, very hard decision, that do they want to go to, you know, the usual generic lifestyle, or do want to do something different? And every time they make this hard decision, it always turns out to be a positive one. And that's something inspiring in, you know, all the founders' life. And not saying people don't get failure. There are tons of failures before you actually touch the corner of the success mountain, right? So that's kudos for that. So when you had this epiphany, did you look into the market? Were there other products? What was going on at the time, and what did you see from your research that encouraged you to move ahead with it, with the idea?
So a lot of the market that time when I started was primarily focusing on the graphic design bit of things. It was, and it was the days of Dreamweaver and those original tools of, you know, building web design. Adobe came up with that tool, kind of took the world by storm back then. So it was these are very nascent and kind of novice tools for that time. Today we have a lot of advanced ones, but for that time it was great. It was very, very popular. So there was not much we could do on every front. Our tools were limited in certain ways. But whatever we had, at least that aesthetic angle of graphic design is what made things stand out, especially in the consumer world and also in business world for that matter, but more in the consumer world as to if so it is all around us, right? If you're going by if you're going around in a market and we see some billboards of those shops on the side, and the one which takes our attention most is the most beautiful designed one, right? Or maybe the more horribly designed one. So it's got a good kind of apply.
Sure.
But yes, being a designer, I was supposed to be focusing more on designing something which is really beautiful and an eye candy of sorts. So the industry was primarily there. But yes, because I've studied tech in the past and I knew how tech is evolving, also every day we saw that advent of mobile phones coming, the new screen sizes coming, and different tablets coming, and those kind of new devices every day getting released, is where that, you know, silver lining was that, okay, this is going to be the thing going forward, because there will be immense need of design in the world today with so many different types of devices, all shapes and sizes coming on in the market. And ultimately, everybody's going to be using them, right, at the end of the day also. So there'll be more users also over time. And exactly that's what happened, you know. So that is why I invested a bit in learning the principles of a lot more UX UI design, because that was just the word in the name again back then. It was a very new concept, but it also came into me a bit logically and kind of naturally, because it's very obvious if you're designing for a physical space, for that matter, if you're designing for a billboard or a poster or even a space or a furniture piece also, now do you consider those nuances of that space? Because the things like, if it is a billboard, how many people will see that? How big the font is? Whether it will be visible from far or not? Whether it is readable, it's visible or not enough? Legible or not? Like things like that. But now when it comes to screens, there are different nuances to that, right? Because screens are very close to us. Now there, so these things are very, again, like I said, the whole thing is driven by logic and common sense. It is very natural to design for something which, in the way we use it, right, in exactly the way we use it, things naturally evolved. I always have been listening to my intuition and my gut feeling to do things, because this is probably, I feel, is one of my superpowers which give me that edge of being a designer. And I want to make sure that, you know, I'm listening to that. I'm making sure that what is logical to do at this step is what I'm doing. The other part is definitely the beautiful, making it beautiful part. That is the UI design part, which is also important, because that is how you stay away from the clutter in general, right? And also make the experiences more delightful in general, right? Because even if it is beautiful, who wants to use a particular app which is so difficult to navigate, or who is difficult to find information on that, right? So that is where UX, user experience, came in, right? Where it is not just the design, it is also the experience of the whole user in using that, consuming that piece of asset, be it a billboard, be it a graphic design, be it a app design or a website or anything else. This area is still expanding, because with the Vision Pro coming, now there's a different interface. Now there's a different way of designing for Vision Pro, right? So there are so many different things which are coming out, and day by day as they are, the field is just expanding, is what I feel, in a very big way.
So basically, you had this edge over other competitors of yours in the market, where you had understanding of how tech is, you know, growing or progressing in different verticals, but also you had this passion of designing, and your UX were some of the prominent tech spaces coming into the geography, and that's what make you more desirable, more credible in that space, and that's how you decided to go forward with it without, you know, worrying about the competition. That's actually a good way to go forward, because if you have an edge of something, so for example, if somebody is in tech and they have an edge of a product or a particular industry, that's what we look at when we are investing into the founders, right? So yeah, that's a good way to do.
Just as a designer, even if you say today, I think that because the tools have evolved so much, the design tools have evolved so much, the design world has evolved so much, there's so much of content to consume and learn, that I do not see that tech is an advantage for a starter today so much. It does help, because ultimately we're designing for tech screens and tech world, right? So it does help in some way, but it is not like it is standing out. But from the time when I came from where things were evolving, it was just the transition, the UX was new. And transition, that time tech was really important to know. I mean, that is where it gave me an upper edge, because understanding how tech works, how these screens are evolving and coming, it's definitely making a difference, because not everybody could design for those. And that is where I was very fortunate, and the situation was advantageous in some way for me.
Sure. Okay. And I want to learn more about some compelling case studies you have in your bucket. But before going into that, would you be able to tell us, like, have you started this from scratch? Is it still bootstrap? Have you considered any investment from any VCs? And then can you also give us a sense of the size of the business, where you are in terms of customers and size of your team?
Yeah, sure. So it is bootstrapped till date. There were talks of getting an angel funding in between, and things were maybe a couple of years from now, which I think pre-COVID times. But I chose to keep it bootstrapped, and I did not get into the VC money route or the angel route, because being a service business, I feel it is more about delivering a service and getting paid in return. That's how I think of it. It's very much like the traditional Gujarati and Marwadi community of India. That's how they have been. They're very well known in the world to make one of the largest businesses in the world, few of the largest businesses in the world. So they're still a big business community, and I belong to one of those. So from that perspective, I've seen that from my childhood, being a business family guy, that hey, business has to be delivered. These are like very basics of business again. I mean, this is how, I mean, the world has totally changed. I mean, VC money is a very different route to take today. But I believe that I deliver a service and I get paid in return. I mean, I have to deliver a lot of value for sure to be able to get paid. And that is what that is again one of my, you know, keystone areas to focus always on and keep it that way. So I always, even today, I do not intend to kind of get funded unless the route changes, unless the landscape is changing so fast that we do not know. Long term now essentially is not more than 3 years. Like, the definition of long term is kind of changing. We do not know how the world evolves next year itself. So unless, as from what I can see, unless things change majorly, I do not see the route of picking up money still, because I think we are profitable. We are doing very well. We are serving, I think, in more than 12 countries as of today, and it has been a very, very steady growth trajectory also, which is going forward and upward. Of course, it does affect with the recession in the market. There's a downturn which just recently happened. So there's definitely, it does affect as the budgets of these clients and companies, they do get curbed and they get reduced. So that does affect us. But I think that's more of a cycle. It just comes and goes. I've been long enough in the business to kind of understand that these are cycles and they'll just pass. So that's how it has been. And we've worked with more than 200 clients, small and big, as big as Intel and Philips and Nestle, and very small shops which are probably next door in the market in my city. So even that, so from that to that, it is where it is. And I always try to seek interesting projects. I do not want to, if somebody comes and tells me that, hey, make me a website, I will not do that. My first question is why? And why should you want it? What is the use in your business? So I am always, Brand Hero is always geared towards solving difficult problems for people, or maybe which they are not able to find solutions for. It is very, very important to put your effort and time in something which is really helping the end user and solving for a problem. So this has been one of the major parameters to go by, that okay, there's a real problem to be solved, not just aesthetically solving for something, right? That's not that. For that, there is a template. Go and just, why do you want to come to an agency? Just go ahead and, you know, a couple of $100, you can buy that. And and I do recommend that also. If during a discovery call conversation, I end up getting to understand, okay, this is something the business does not need, I am happy to help them out to set that up. That okay, go ahead and you just need to. You can just buy this template and do this particular thing this way. It'll just solve your problem, at least for this stage. You do not need to hire anyone for that matter, not even me. So I try to consult in these fronts, and again, I try to give back a lot in the society also. because I do one or two big pro bono projects, big or rather any pro bono projects every year, because that helps me keep grounded. And this is how, this is my way of giving back, because I've gained a lot from the community all these years. The community's been super helpful. So I try to find somebody. It is generally for a cause. The projects I do pro bono are generally for a cause, for a community. And I try to give back in that way. So this is another way of looking at it. Regarding the size of the business, I would say we have evolved to become a fully remote business since the post-pandemic. And that has been, again, one of our growth trajectories, because now we have access to the talent all over the world. Earlier, we were restricted to our office in Bangalore at WeWork, one of the WeWorks, and the team is listed out of that place. But now the team is distributed all over the world. There is a lot of more avenues which have opened for us, and access to talent, access to clientele, and also working with a lot of contractors now. That is something which we were traditionally a company with only full-time employees, but today we are open-ended to work with a lot of contractors, because the work of different shapes and sizes require different kind of engagements. So we have a trust of contractors all over the world, which we work with and make sure that client gets what they want in the best capacity from our side.
Indeed, indeed. And that's actually the best way to do it. I was watching an episode on Shark Tank the other day, and there was a guy who came and he mentioned that he built a whole business by himself, and that business was around $500,000 a month, and he was selling some kind of packaged products for some kind of food items. And then the sharks was amazed to understand that, wow, how can you build such a big business, which is very supply chain, you know, heavy, just by being yourself? And the answer was working with contractors or freelancers online, right? So in the world, in this digital world, anything, you can build multi-million dollar businesses just being a single founder. Great. So let's talk about how Brand Hero adds value into their businesses. And can you share a compelling case study that highlights how a company leveraged Brand Hero solution to achieve success and solve their key business challenges? And I really love to hear about specific problems they face and the steps taken to implement your solution or your design and the measurable outcomes they experienced as a result.
Sure. So there are many of these cases which we have about making impactful results in the lives of the stakeholders. But I'll just share one example. Again, I won't take names for the reason of secrecy here and you know, NDA bound projects. But there's a company which deals in India who's designing for blue collar workforce. Now, this is the design for the next billion people, right? In India, there's a major chunk of population is towards the lower strata of social status and economics. So people who are working in homes as helps, and also people who are delivering food. There are a lot of food delivery companies. There are a lot of delivery companies, for that matter, courier companies in India. So it is more geared. By the way, this company is also a YC company. But yeah, so this is solving for making lives easier for these kind of people who are struggling to, who are kind of hand to mouth on daily basis. So there were solutions, devices. We were trying to solve for their financial needs. We're trying to give them tools of gaining access to finance, trying to get paid, trying to get jobs, all of that in one financial tech solution. Now, because of the geo revolution in India, everybody has a mobile phone, everybody has access to the internet, which is also one of the major drivers of, we see, so there is enough extensive research data we gathered to figure out, okay, who these people are and what kind of habits and behaviors they have. But what we realized that, okay, all of them almost have a mobile phone. All of them have they have some kind of access to a vehicle at the minimum. They could have loaned it or whatever, but they have. And these kind of and they do have different aspirations of different kind. Like they want to use the new phone on the market, which is there, which they can afford, and they want to use something which is very cool and adds the coolness question in their lives, right? So these kind of things, and also they need different type of, they have monetary needs to solve for these, right? They want to take loans, which are low interest ones. They want to take some kind of insurance, because if they are on the road delivering all the time, their life is always in a danger. There is a family to take care of, right? All of that. And they are from different age groups, like from people from 18-year-old till, say, 60-year-old. So all sorts of people were part of this study, which we did. And we were able to impact their lives in such a way that they were not only, and the numbers run into many, many thousands here. It's not just, the impact is not just a few hundreds. It is, in fact, I think it's going beyond lakhs maybe. So it was a large number where, you know, these solutions were presented to, and detailed study was done to make sure that we are designing for something which these people can use. And there are different barriers in India of different kinds, such as the language barrier, such as the education barrier. Not everybody is well-versed with English to read and use an app also. Usability barriers. There were so many different levels of issues we were solving for. And we could take these cases one by one and solve for them. And ultimately, it does impacted a large set of people and did give them what they ultimately wanted. And of course, in marginal ways, not everything is 100% accurate. But yeah, this is an ongoing activity for us to make sure that, you know, their lives get better over time. So this is
how did Brand Heroes inputs, or how did the design you guys help this in this organization made change? Because I'm guessing they could have hired anyone else other than Brand Heroes, right? So what is that edge you guys have provided to this company or organization, which was different or potentially in your words, leverage to the organization so that they can add more value to their end customers?
So I think what I said before, that the whole approach of ours trying to solve for a problem and making sure the problem is solved and we tested in the process, right? That is what, at every stage of any finding we did here, we went back to the users, try to make them use it, try to figure out. We used to be on calls with them for hours too, for them, and they just navigated through it, right? And try to use it, and they have questions around it. We answered that. We asked more questions around it. So it was like that whole proactive approach towards making a feature and then testing it out, making sure that it is getting what it's supposed to. So things like transferring money, things like, so there were like various needs these people have on day-to-day basis. Now there are hundreds and thousands of insights we unearthed by talking, right? The needs are very different from probably somebody who is a white collar sitting in a flashy office. It's very different than that person. So it was a whole new challenge on a different level. So, but yes, we had the right support and right set of people to work with in terms of solving for it. Yes, to answer your question, I think it is more about the proactiveness and going back to our user again and again, making sure that problems are solved, is what gave us an edge in terms of, you know, making sure that we are making something which solves for their life.
Right. Would you be able to share how many how many users might be using your design at this point of time with that solution?
I think it's going to be not less than maybe a lakh, maybe around a lakh.
100,000. Yeah.
100,000 people at least, or maybe, I'm not exactly sure of the number, but will be around the same range, and it could be more. It keeps increasing day by day. It could be more.
Oh, indeed. Yeah. That's fascinating, when, because creating a product which is affecting hundreds of thousands life on a daily basis, especially the people who are not very, very well versed in tech, just have access to it. And, you know, and I'm guessing, because you mentioned that they're blue collar workers and they have lots of their personal needs to be solved, a design makes a lot of difference when it comes to be operated during the time when you are under stress, under pressure. And a good design or good approach toward designing these interfaces could solve quite a lot of issues. So I totally get that. I mean, Google keeps calling me for their Google Cloud Console. It's very poorly designed. Every time we have the call, I always tell them, but it's very difficult for them to rectify it, because it's so giant. The company is so giant. They cannot. On the other hand, if you go on DigitalOcean, you just click on it and then just spin up your servers and you have all the information in front of you. But you, I know that I cannot compare GCP and AWS or Azure with DigitalOcean because it's different level of customers and different marketplaces. But yes, definitely anybody will choose DO in, compared to GCP or AWS when it comes to design, because that's how much it is user friendly. We see it in different products around the world. So great stuff. So I'm enjoying this conversation so much, but we are heading towards the end of this interview. And unfortunately,
you just said, sorry to cut you. I just want to share one thing so it is my inherent want and desire to keep educating people about design and telling them, like, exactly the example you just shared about DigitalOcean and GCP and others is exactly how design impacts our lives, right? And I there are thousands of people today also who maybe not always believe so much in the power of design. So it is always my inherent goal when I'm talking to anyone, any founder or anyone for that matter, to tell them, okay, how design can impact our lives. And I am one of the, probably, I try to be one of the big propagators of, how design can change. I mean, it could be as simple as that, the book from Don Norman, The Design of Everyday Things, but the very basics of design, where even the handles, how they are placed on the door of a glass door, could make a difference in the lives of people when they use the door. So it's as simple as that. So design is everywhere and it just affects us all the time. So it is more evident in the screen world, but in general, it is around.
Great. So before we jump into our lightning round, I would like to ask you a personal question. This is one of my favorites, so I always ask it to all of my guests. Throughout your journey and experience, there must have been some valuable lessons learned. So if you don't mind sharing, could you reflect on your experience and tell us about one mistake or a setback that you encountered along the way that you now consider maybe not a regret, but a lessons learned? Additionally, what advice would you give our listeners based on this experience?
Sure. So in the course of building Brand Hero, there are, of course, the journey has been full of ups and downs. There were lots of lessons learned and lots of unlearning which has to go in the process. So one of the things which I believe a lot is that to go all out and get things done. So getting things done and believing that it can be done is a very important thing. Like, for example, I'll tell you a funny, it's not funny, maybe it's something which is worthy of sharing, is that in Bangalore, auto guys, the people, the auto rickshaws which run, they're traditional bunch of chaps, they're known to be arrogant, they're known to be doing only what they want to, they're known to be not taking people. Even like if you go and if you wave a auto in the night, they might feel like, no, I don't want to go. It's like that, kind of a thing which I've seen, which is quite commonly seen in India. So the whole thing which I'm telling you is coming from the story where, so Ola is one of the large companies in India, which is it's a competitor to Uber, right? So it's Ola is one of them. So when they got autowalas on their app as in a standardization process of these guys coming, so this is a very major problem which was solved. Now, it kind of got me thinking, okay, how can this be possible that autowalas is a bunch of arrogant chaps who don't want to get into, not everyone is saying, but I'm talking about in general, the community, they don't want to get into a standardization app where, they are bound to serve. Now, they can't say no on that. There's a different way of these apps approach, these apps work, right? So they don't have that liberty of saying no in the 10 in the night. So now they made a ways out of it. That's a different story. But the original thought was, okay, if this can happen, then anything in the world can happen. Because I have been in this ecosystem for very long and I know how I've struggled with the auto guys. So if this can happen, anything can happen. Anything can happen. And that kind of opened up my mind. Okay, fine. If I have to go and meet anyone, anywhere, I will have to find the right connection. I'll have to go there and stand outside the office. I have to figure it out, whatever. Not only meeting people, even in doing something. If I want to achieve the next milestone of, say, working with this company or taking our revenues to a certain level or whatever. Now, this can be the thought process of that. Go out and out to do it. And it will follow your way. That is a very major shift. In the beginning, I was not having this. I was always trying a little and then stopped because, you know, it was not happening. It's not happening. I said, no, there is a way. There will be a silver lining. Find that. There will be a way. Keep trying, it will happen. So this is a lesson which I, again, till today live by, that everything in the world is possible. It is only if one wants to do it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, totally agree. Great. So we should wrap up now. We are going to go into the lightning round. I've got 6 quick fire questions for you. So just try to answer them as quickly as possible. You ready?
Yeah.
Great. What's one of the best piece of business advice you have received?
The best piece of advice is never say no to a business. So if something comes away, if something comes my way, I mean, you start thinking of whether I have the bandwidth, I have the option, I have the skill or not. But never say no to business is something which was told to somebody in my family who again belongs to the traditional business, that, hey, we will figure out a way to solve it. If the business is worth it, if the project is worth it, if it is contributing to the growth of your company, go ahead and take it. There is always a way to figure this out.
Right. What book would you recommend to our audience and why?
So one book which I really like and which kind of, you know, has changed a lot in my life is Atomic Habits by James Clear. Again, it's James Clear. It's very obvious why most of the world has read it. Because having the power, having a routine in life, having a certain way of doing certain habits in a certain way, it just brings those major changes in life. Otherwise, one was struggling to bring about. So I was always kind of an ad hoc guy in the beginning where, you know, I go as it comes, right? But being a founder, being a father, being a, you know, family person, there are a lot of responsibilities in our head. And unless I bring discipline in my life, unless I build those habits which are for a greater good in terms of emotional health, physical health and whatnot. So all these things contribute together in ways which we can't imagine. And this book is gotten me on track on a lot of times when I got derailed. So this is a book I definitely recommend for people to read, must read. I there are a couple of more, but I think this is one of the books which comes to my mind right now.
Yeah. Yeah. When I read it, I felt the same way as you do. So yeah. What's one attribute or characteristic in your mind of a successful founder?
Always listen to your customers. See, again, the whole basis on which Grandiro has been growing is only going far and beyond to deliver what the customers want. And a very important step to do that is understanding their needs first. Mm-hmm. Just not delivering doesn't help. So understand, listening and understanding first, take that time. Understand their problem very much and deep. Then only you can solve it. And then going above and beyond to solve it. So it is something which is very, very important in any business's life, I think, to listen to their customers and solve for them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your favorite personal productivity tool or habit?
So I live the world again. I am a calendar boy. You know, I use the time boxing technique, and to that extent that even my meals are marked in it. That, okay, how I'm going to be, this is the lunch time, this is the dinner time, right? So to that extent, because I live by it, there's a tool called AccuFlow, which I got my hands on a couple of years ago. And I'm one of the paid users because I love the tool. It is combining the to-do list and the calendar into one, which is kind of suiting my workflow in a very big way. And I totally, totally love it, you know, for that matter.
What's
that
the name of the tool again?
AccuFlow, AccuFlow. Yes.
AccuFlow. Okay.
It's a new kid on the block, couple of years old. But yeah, they're doing phenomenal good work with respect to the user experience of the app, the things they're trying to solve, the features they're building in. There's a lot. At the heart, I'm a tech guy, so I do relate to the tech a lot of times. So yes, I love this tool.
Sure. What's a new or a crazy business idea you would love to pursue if you had time?
Oh, lots of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have this idea sheet in me. I'm an idea person, you know, all my life. And I have this idea sheet. It's a Notion document I've made. There are at least 100 ideas gathered in that till date. Again, I don't get time apart from my usual business. I also help my wife in her business. She's a nutritionist and she's also working across 20 countries. So there's all my remaining time goes there. And also I'm a father of 2 kids, that the whatever is remaining goes there. So I need to pursue those ideas whatsoever, but given a chance, I think I really want to, I mean, sitting in the tech world, I think I've had a lot of it. I would like to go offline and probably open a cafe of my own. And that is something which I really want to do to get a new perspective towards that kind of business, which I've never been. I've always been a screen kind of a guy where working in a knowledge industry, right? So I wanted to kind of get into a non-traditional, non-knowledge industry, non-tech industry. So I think that will open a lot of insights for me. And I'm a big fan of, I'm a foodie. So I think that's another reason that I want to try it out and see how it works. And I have that side of it also, because I told you my wife is a nutritionist. So eating healthy is all around in our house a lot of times. So I think food is a very important part of our life for that matter. So that's the reason that there's a side to it where I want to start something like that.
Great, great. And last but not least, what's an interesting or fun fact about you that most people don't know?
Okay. This is something very interesting. So I think I would say it's a difficult one. What comes to my mind is I'm a multi-skilled person, you know, when it comes to skills. Like I play guitar, I play mandolin, I sing, I play the keyboard in terms of music instruments. I do photography, like I said. I do art. I do even I do very good advising. I do advise people a lot. People tell me they kind of, my family makes fun of me that, you know, he's like, now the saint has come, you know. So that kind of, so I kind of
jack of all trades.
Yeah, so kind of do that. Like it's like, now don't start advising again. It's like that kind of thing. They make fun in family. That's how it is. But so I think there is a lot of multifaceted, you know, aspects. Some of them I can't even recall right now, but there's a lot more. So. I love traveling also. I do it every time, every year, multiple times and stuff like that. So there's so much in my little brain, which is what I want to do, that it's really difficult to, you know, figure out what, it gets confused. One more thing I like to say here is that I get confused when I go and say, if I go to a hotel and we are going for breakfast and there's a big buffet laid out for, you know, what to eat. Now, what I do is that because there is so much, I end up eating nothing because there's so much. If you give me two things to eat, I will be happily feeding myself up. But
decision.
I end up eating. I get confused. Okay, eat this a little bit, I eat that a little bit, or nothing. So that is, you know, the perpetual problem I have.
Yeah, great. Well, Vin, thank you so much for joining me and sharing your story and unpacking the last few years of building this business and some of the ups and downs along the way. If people want to check out Brand Hero and get in touch with you, what's the best way to do it?
So I am on Twitter. So my handles are TheVinAmbara everywhere. But I think brandhero.design is much easier to remember. So the website link, one link, brandhero.design is the place. One can go in and there's a calendar booking link. There's a form, there's an email, everything there. One can just fill it up if they want to reach out to me. LinkedIn is another place where I'm quite active. I try to, again, I'm not active on all the social media platforms, but Twitter and LinkedIn is something which I'm active. Just searching for Vinamra Brand Hero gets my name up front. So that's another way people can find me. I think that should work. Yeah. Brand Hero Design is the name. So it's easier to remember that.
Sure. Vinamra, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your inspiring journey and the impactful work you're doing through Brand Hero. It's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Founders Podcast.
Thank you so much, Ash. The pleasure was all mine. I had a lovely time today and I was really happy to share my story and meet you today. Thank you so much.
Thanks all for listening to our episode of Founders Podcast. I hope you found our conversation with Vinamra insightful and inspiring. Don't forget to check out Brand Hero at brandhero.design and you can contact him on either LinkedIn or Twitter. If you're a founder or an industry expert, interested in sharing your story on our podcast, please don't hesitate to reach out. Simply email me at ash@artcircles.com and let's connect for a potential interview opportunity. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and stay updated on our future interviews with proven founders and industry experts. We have a lineup of incredible guests and valuable insights coming your way. Stay inspired, stay motivated, and keep building.